The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." When Jesus finished giving these commands to his 12 disciples, he went away from that place to teach and to preach in their towns. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace upon this earth. I've come not to bring peace, but to bring the sword. And from now on, one's enemies will be those of one's own household." Okay. Now, if that isn't ever a timely passage, I don't know what is. Is there anybody here who does not know what it's like to have terrible divisions in one's own home? When you hear these words, though, I want to tell you something that I might never have mentioned before. It's important to understand that Jesus is speaking metaphorically. Allow me to explain. Just as Jesus doesn't literally come forward with a sword, right? He doesn't literally mean a sword is a metaphor. Same thing, Jesus does not literally cause division in families. What causes division in families is people's reaction to Jesus. That's what causes division. It's not Jesus himself. Religion, by its very nature, demands your wholehearted consent. And Jesus asks for your faith. And quite honestly, some people just aren't ready. And so it leads to division. So what do you and I do? Well, there's only one thing we can do, and that is to press on in faith, because it's the only path to freedom. It's the only way forward. You know what's really interesting? That goes perfectly with what we heard in our first reading. Because now we're going to be hearing from the book of Exodus. We just got finished hearing from Genesis, where we heard about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Well, now we're going to hear from Exodus, where we're going to hear the story of Moses. And today, in the book of Exodus, it says a new Pharaoh who came to Egypt, who knew nothing of Joseph, pressed the children of Israel into forced labor. What it literally says is he made the sons of Israel serve with rigor. Service is a key theme in the book of Exodus, because people go from service to Pharaoh to service to God. Service to Pharaoh is slavery. Service to God is worship in freedom. But here's what's interesting. The book of Exodus uses the exact same word to describe both realities. The Hebrew word is abad. And when you use that word in reference to Pharaoh, you know how you translate it? Slavery. When you use that exact same word in reference to God, you know how you translate it? Worship in freedom. It all depends on who you give your whole heart to. Later on in the Old Testament, Joshua, when they finally cross over into the Promised Land, will turn to the people of Israel and he'll say, decide today who you're going to serve. And that's the whole drama of the Old Testament. You could say that's the whole drama of our whole lives. Decide who you're going to serve. That's what makes all the difference. The book of Exodus, the word Exodus itself is an interesting word. It comes from two Greek words, ex and hodos. Ex means out of, and hodos means the way. So the word Exodus means the way out. The way out of what? The way out of slavery. That's what the book Exodus tells us. You know the way out of slavery in the book Exodus? You follow a man sent from God, namely Moses. And you follow him through a desert, no matter how hard it is, pressing on to a promised land that you can't see. That's the way out of slavery. Because if you don't follow Moses, the only option you have is to go back into slavery or to die on the way. Now, for you and me, it's the exact same reality. Because many people are in slavery to a different kind of Pharaoh. They give their whole heart not to God, but to money or to power. Or how many people give their whole heart to some kind of political ideology, thinking that it's going to be the salvation of the whole world, and they give their whole heart to it? Does it ever set anybody free? Does it ever lead to happiness? Does it ever lead to peace? Does it ever lead to love? Does it ever lead to strong relationships? No. That's why service to Pharaoh or worldliness is a kind of slavery. And what do? Do we follow the only way out? We follow the one sent from God, namely Jesus. Through a desert, that is to say, this life with its hardships and its faith and its commandments and its penance and all these things, and we press on to a promised land that we can't see, but that we believe in the one who was sent by God, and we know he's worthy of trust. And you know what? The only other option is to go back into slavery, and we know that's not the answer. And that, brothers and sisters, is why the greatest way that you can lead to peace and love for those you love in your home is to press on in faith. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that today. Saint Bonaventure, pray for us.